got too much on my mind right now. I ain't got the time to get you sent right now. I got too much on my mind right now. And it is the start of the new football season, so we do have a lot on our minds. This is Bill Walker, and welcome to another edition of Raptor Football Weekly. I think we're kicking off, what is this, our third season?
That's correct.
So, yes, here with Scott Haldeman, who is the host with the mostest. Then we also got Coach Fritzy here, and we have another newcomer, John McGuire, who's going to be filling in for me for the most of the season. So with that, we always have to thank Custom One Homes for their support of the Raptor football team, as well as the use of their equipment. And with that, I'd like to kick it off to my man, Scott.
Hey, thanks, Bill. And welcome everybody again to another season three of Raptor Football Weekly. Here we are. We got the season on the start here, playing Cottage Grove right here on Thursday. I want to talk a little bit with Coach Dan about the season in review, too. I mean, it was quite a tumultuous one last year, Dan.
Yeah.
One with, you know, the Raptors finishing, you know, 2-6 in the regular season, but then exploding in the playoffs with wins against Anoka, Minnetonka, before losing to Lakeville South in just a crazy game, 35-34 in the 6A quarterfinal. So, I mean, when you look back at this season, I mean, probably one of your more interesting ones, wasn't it?
The most. Arguably the most. You know, you go into a season with certain expectations and it never goes how you think it's going to go. And So you really got to be careful how you go into a season. But, you know, last year we had guys coming back in certain spots, and really from the start we were getting the injury bug pretty bad. We had, I don't know how many, I think four guys out for the season. Four to five guys
in key positions,
at key spots, and guys who had played, and it really threw us off. But at the same time, in the midst of that, you're playing tough teams, and we're playing tough teams in one score games, and that was most of our season. And in the midst of that, we're trying to juggle guys, we're moving guys around, we're dealing with new injuries that pop up, and we're shuffling guys around. I'm trying to, as an offensive coach, you have to adjust your identity at times, because you're doing things for certain players, and that's because that's how we run our offense, and then that changes, and same with defense. And so it just came down to one thing, is can you get the team to continue to believe?
Yeah.
And that was my only goal, because I saw it in them that no matter who we had hurt, I knew that we had a chance. And when we got into the playoffs, I just thought if we could just get one win, that this team is going to flip around.
Yeah.
And we did.
And you really, I mean, expectations were high last
year,
right?
Oh,
and with those injuries, I mean, when you come off a season with that kind of record, you know, what do you have to do as a coach to keep those kids motivated? You know, I mean, with the 2-6 record, you're going in as a, what seed were you going?
Yeah, we were a 6 seed.
6 seed, right. So what, how did you kind of have to change your mentality to keep this team going?
You know, I don't think I ever changed my mentality. It was just, can I convince the kids that when the playoffs started, that you get a clean slate and anything can happen? And I tell the guys from the very beginning of the season, in 6A football, anything can happen in any week. Mm-hmm. And you need to respect teams. And I really don't think that they did. And I think they even admitted that they didn't at the beginning. And so there, I failed as a coach in that regard. But as things went on, and we're able to move guys into certain spots, That was a key piece of that too. Going into the Anoka game, we made a couple key moves. And, you know, you're in the playoffs, you're able to be a little more flexible, right? Because you're all in. It doesn't matter. And so if you have to play a guy at a spot, we had to play our quarterback at free safety, we're going to do it. If we have to play a guy both ways, we're going to do it. And so getting them to believe that all that matters is one game, and if we do what we do, we can get out of that with a win. And the thing was, is that they bought into it. They really truly did. And if the beginning of the game goes a different way, maybe they start to get that sinking feeling, oh, here we go again. But we scored on our first drive.
Right.
And that was our whole goal as a coaching staff. We're going to receive if we win the toss, and we're going to score on the first drive, and we're going to go up 7-0, and we're just going to keep it close from there, and we're going to win a one-score game if we have to. And that was our plan every game. And even going to Lakeville South game, and everyone's talking how good they are. And we told our kids, we can beat this team. Our kids started saying, our captain stood up, we can beat this team.
Yeah.
And we knew it, and we thought we were just as good a team as them.
So then what do you take? I mean, the emotion's got to be crazy, right? I mean,
oh, my gosh.
End of the season, and then you've got the Winnenoka, you're winning Minnetonka, and, you know, Lakeville South, obviously, a very, you know, historic, like right now, one of the better programs in the state, and continue to be. Got to be, I mean, even a letdown right at the end of that game, right? Or just the feeling of that game. How do you just harness that? What do you take away from that season, that part of the season, with the kids that are coming back,
right,
going into practice and starting practice again this year?
So, a couple things. One, after the Rochester Mayo game, it was dark.
Yeah.
Right? You just finished 2-6. You know you're the 6 seed. You don't even have to look at the bracket. You know the 6 seed doesn't matter. You're locked into the 6. And you're like, wow, we just went 2-6 and lost on the road to Mayo, who is a good team. But it's like, okay, you know, what's going to... So we get the Anoka win, and it's great. It was, you know, easily could have lost that game. Then you get the goal line stop at Minnetonka, and you're delirious, and you're going to stay. Like, well, what just happened? We just won 2 games after winning 2 games all regular season. Yeah. And I just told the guys, I told you that I believe in you, and now you believe in yourself, and let's go see what we can do. And so it's like all of a sudden they look at Lakeville South differently. And then we feel like we outplayed them. Mm-hmm. We really did. And you lose a game, and you that's what happens in 6A, right? You miss an extra point, or this happens, something gets blocked, and you lose by 1 point, and it is what it is. So now going into this season, we got guys who have been here for a few years, like Kyle Frent, like Luke Ryerson. You're like, hey, we now have lived that anything can happen.
Yeah.
We our goals are going to stay the same. Our goals are always the same. Win the conference, go to state, win state. And those guys get it. They've been in those battles, and now it's just trying to get the new guys to get it. But here's the thing that we have that's so beneficial. So many of our juniors were on the playoff roster last year.
Right.
So they were actually on the sideline, and they were so energetic. They have brought that energy to this season.
Yeah.
And it's like it never stopped. And it's like I can't stop smiling at those guys. It's hard for me to be serious because they're so energetic. They're so positive. I can't even explain their energy, and it just feels like we're at the sideline again at Lakeville South every day of practice, and it's so awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how, I mean, you've been at practice now for a while, and then things are, you know, a little different from when we were playing football. I mean, you got programs, more off-season things.
Yeah.
How would you, and every team is different, right? You come into the season, every team's got a different personality and group of kids.
For sure.
What are you taking away so far about the team this year?
I can absolutely say that this is the most joyful, fun, positive team that we've ever had. I can say that with no doubt. And it's I'm very anxious and curious to see how that's going to translate into the games.
Yeah.
But that's their identity. That's their personality. The hooting and hollering type of team, but in a fun, positive way, not in like the, you know,
cocky,
super serious, cocky way. Yeah, it's in the word is we just are so excited, having so much fun to be out playing football with our buddies. And that's just how we're going to be all the time. And I think that I try to get them to understand that, like, you need to be that way when it comes to game time, because if you flip that, you're going to be too nervous and anxious and you're not going to play your best. So we're going to see on Thursday if they really can bring that to the game.
You know, one thing that struck me too from doing this podcast this year is how important I think you put the role of your upperclassmen into really welcoming the younger kids in
the
program.
Yeah.
It's certainly not something that is, you know, maybe people think of, like, you know, some of the dumb kind of hazing things
that
maybe teams did in the past. I mean, there's nothing like that on this team. And how important is that when you're developing a program, developing, you know, the character, the culture, as, you know, everybody's saying now, you know, year in and year out.
It's paramount for us. We talk about it all the time. We actually use the example of back in the day, it was a hazing. It was I'm the senior, you have to carry my pads out to practice every day because I'm a senior and it's my turn to be the guy and I don't really care about you. And we talk to our guys, our senior leaders, about flipping that. We flip it, and no, we are leaders through service, and we do everything we can to get our seniors to connect, especially with the freshmen, right? It's their first experience in high school is being on the football team.
Right.
They go to the football team and practice and games and all that before they even go to classes. Mm-hmm. And so welcoming them in, and then also just on the varsity team itself, of having those senior leaders really bond with the juniors, right? Because you play with your grade all up through sophomore year, and all of a sudden you're on varsity with 2 grades, and connecting those grades is really important for us to get that team chemistry, and that's the number one way that we do it, is to get the seniors to be there for them.
So we talking about the players and the team coach. For you, what has changed coaching for you wise, and what has what have you done to make it easier for yourself? Because I know you put everything on your back.
I think that's
back,
a loaded question. Yeah, no.
And so talk a little bit to that.
Yeah, so being a head coach obviously is consuming. You know, it consumes my brain. I tell the kids I there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about it, do something for it. And especially in the season, there's not a second that goes by. It's really difficult to turn that off because there's just so much responsibility and so much passion towards that. But as I've been able to get a lot of help and with parents, boosters, coaches, and viewing the program as like I'm almost like running a business, and the business side of it, in terms of logistics, really can weigh you down as a coach. And so thankfully what we've been able to do for the first time this year is hire a director of football operations. And we're fortunate enough to have Coach Leo, who doubles as my father. And he has taken on all logistics for me and for the program. And so anything non-football related that comes to me, I immediately send it off to him. And he loves it. He's a former high school head coach, guidance counselor, just loves people, loves handling the administrative sides of things, loves taking it off my plate, and it allows him to stay around the program, be with the kids, and then I get to focus on football. And that's my passion. That's what I love. And it has freed me up. I have so much less stress in season right now, and I'm able to really put my brain, time, energy, everything towards our players and our season and what's going on the field and off the field with them.
Great. Now, is he completely retired from Egan then?
Yes. He finally, after a few feigns on that, he is finally retired from Egan. We'll see what he does here, but this is kind of his in-between spot right now. But he has said that he wants to do this for a long time. He loves it.
And how does your mom feel about that?
You know what? She likes it because in his role last year as defensive coordinator, that eats up every second, right, for him, and especially weekends. And they love the fall weekends, right? And so he gets to have both the best of both worlds now. He gets to be a part of the program, but also gets to spend that time with her and the family. And he can come and go as he pleases. But a big thing that he's been able to do is help with that connection with the 9th and 10th graders, right? Mm-hmm. He's making sure the 9th and 10th grader are running the same offense, same defense. He's making sure they're doing their commitment cards. He's making sure they're doing the proper fundraising. He's making sure that the culture is the same in the 9th, 10th grade level as it is on varsity, because I can't be everywhere. And he knows exactly what I want, exactly what our program is all about. And he's just been an absolute godsend for me and our program.
Coach, can you comment a little bit? And there's this school is getting a lot of attention from former players. You got the Anene brothers who went on going on to play Division One. You got Logan Larson. You got players who are currently on the team that are being looked at very closely.
Ty Okada of the Seahawks.
Right. Ty is there at the Seahawks, right? So how does that change your mindset when you're dealing with some of these players and their parents?
Oh yeah.
And then what extra added stress, or not stress, I would say, but what extra added job does that add onto your plate?
Yeah, I think it's a responsibility, because I feel like it may have taken me a bit when I was when it first started, to understand that side of things. And I had to embrace it, because that's the world that we live in now, and that it's really important for families and for kids. And a couple of things. One, I'm lucky enough to have Bryson White, who is our recruiting coordinator. He graduated in 2016, played on the 2015 team, and he's our outside linebacker coach. And he is passionate about recruiting, and he really just takes that and runs with it. And he connects with, I can't believe how many coaches he connects with for every kid. He does an amazing job. And so I'm still talking to the coaches, but now any smaller logistical thing with taking coaches around, meeting with players, whatever he does, helping players get signed up, he does all of that stuff. And where I do the kind of the big picture stuff with the head coaches. Also, I think we've been really good at promoting our culture, and really that's been our strength, right, is our culture. But we also want to get the second, piece of our vision, which is what's going on the field, right? And so that is another thing I've tasked Coach Leo with, is to how can we better promote what we're doing on the field, because we're doing a great job, I think, of promoting what's off the field. Now let's do some on the field stuff and get our kids the attention that they deserve. And those two pieces is what really our vision has become, which is we're helping players become better people through football, through One Eastridge. But the second part of that is we need to be a competitive 6A team, because we want kids to buy into our culture. Yeah. And part of that competition is helping kids with their post-secondary aspirations. And so I think we've taken a big jump in that area.
So transition now to kind of to the on-the-field stuff. And we got a game Thursday against Park. You've got the same from a opponent perspective. You got the same opponents this year as you did last
year. Same schedule, yep.
And that's the first time that's happened in a few years now. So how does that change your mentality? Is it easier or harder? I mean, you got some familiar opponents now.
Yeah, it is easier, but you do have to look at who the coordinators are, because if they change the coordinator, it wipes that out, right? Which that did happen with, I know, at least one team, whether it's an OC or a DC. That will change that. But if the coordinators stay the same, it does help, because you have all your notes from last year.
Yeah.
You have all the film from last year that you can show your kids. So now it becomes this kind of cat and mouse game between the coordinators, right? Are you going to run the same stuff, or are you going to know that I know your stuff and run something different? But it does take out a little bit of legwork, because you've already put in that time, and then next year it'll reset to something different. But it is enjoyable in that way.
So Park is a team that struggled last year. I mean, they had a similar record, 2-6, but they're always a team who will always come with a couple of players that can really take over the football game.
Oh yeah.
So going into this week, I mean, do you think it's what's the buzz around the school this week? I mean, you got opening week. Is it better to be away at Park when you're playing your first game, or would you rather be home?
I like getting on the road right away, because we go on the road for our scrimmage so we can practice skiing on a bus. And so I like doing that back to back weeks, but I don't know if that makes a difference. It's weird because the kids aren't in school. And so that's the first time that the students really come together, and I'm sure Park will have a big crowd. But you know, for us in terms of Park, it's fun because, you know, you have Woodbury as your rival, obviously, but now you have two district teams in your school district that can be your rival, and Park being at 6A has allowed for that. And they have athletes. They have really good athletes, and they stack their offense. Mm-hmm. And their offense is terrifying. They put up a lot of numbers against everybody. And so, you know, slowing them down is our goal. I mean, they're gonna put up yards. They're going to score some points. Mm-hmm. We just need to slow them down and try to control the ball. But for us right now, it's the weather. I mean, is it going to dump rain? Is it going to change the game? And that's where my mindset is at. You know, I think the kids, for them, it's just they're just desperate to play a different opponent. They're just sick of practicing against each other. They don't care who it is. If it's the Vikings, if it's Park, they just want to play. And that's this team's mentality.
Is it tough to temper that excitement? I mean, you've got obviously Eastridge is, you know, a good chunk of Eastridge is Cottage Grove. Park is all Cottage Grove. And you've got, you know, kids who have grown up together, maybe played youth sports together.
For sure.
And now playing against each other.
Yep.
How do you temper that?
Well, we failed at tempering it last year, I can tell you that. Yep. We went in that game way too hyped up, way too confident, way too everything. And so we're using that with our kids this year. Yeah, some of you guys were here last year. We went to that game wrong. So let's fix that this year and go into that the right way. Yeah, we can be excited. And yeah, we know we're playing a team down the road, and that's really fun. But we just got to focus on us and calm ourselves down a little bit and just play football and have fun.
Do you break goals down as the season goes on? I mean, do you have things you want to see early in season and then move on to other things, or is it just some of the same things all year?
No. For us, we don't change. You know, team goals, it's win conference, go to state, win state. And then beyond that, you know, defense, they might have turnover goals, but I don't like a lot of specific goals like that, because I don't think it resonates with kids all that much. Like, if we want this many yards per play, like, that doesn't mean anything to them, you know.
Right.
But turnover, they get it, you know. But beyond that, no. For us, we focus on practice. Mm-hmm. And what are you doing in practice on a day-to-day basis? In the game, you're just having fun, and we're not even going to worry about anything else.
Right. Well, I think that's all. Bill, you got something else there? All right. I think that's all we got time for here on the first episode of Raptor Football Weekly. Let's all get to the game out at Park and support Eastridge on Thursday. Kickoff's at what time?
We got 7 o'clock.
So good luck, Coach, of the game. And
appreciate
then we'll see you next week.
Thank you.